Father, I want to come by the blood of Jesus Christ this evening. You see this multitude of people. You know what it is that is needed as far as the Word of God is concerned. And Father, I want to commit my mind and my emotions, my desires, my will into your hands. Father, I pray that we might be able to break the bread of life, that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened, that we will begin to realize the seriousness of the hour that we are living in. Father, the critical position or place that each and every one of us are in by virtue of the word that we have heard. And Father, we're not working according to our time schedule. You are working according to yours. And Father, we are praying that there would be a sensitivity in the Spirit. Father, give each and every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, Lord, a quickening and a knowing that there is something that needs to be done. And Father, you have commissioned us to do it. So I just present my mind to you today. And Father, you see the ears of the hearers. You see the many distractions in meetings like this. And sometimes it's just the business of the day. Sometimes it's lethargicness, our tiredness. Father, I ask that you give us the energy that is needed.
Amen.
And that we will look and have that sensitivity in the Spirit. Father, I want to thank you for bringing me here at this time. You have ordered the venue. You have ordered the schedule. And you have brought those whom you want to hear. So, Father, we commit it into your hands. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is much on my heart. I'm a little bit trying to figure out where to start. I guess I should start at the beginning. Hallelujah. I think that we take a certain amount of pride in the fact of the revelation that we have as far as the end time is concerned, as far as the sons of God is concerned. But I don't know that we really are cognizant of what it is we have. I don't know that we are really cognizant of the fact of what is required. And it seems like in many situations we are always looking for a new revelation. We're always looking for something exciting to catch our interest. But unless we understand the basic foundations of the word that you profess to believe, then whatever you want to put on top of that is not going to be something that is sufficient or is not going to be something that lasts. Hello? I've been a builder for most of my life. Hallelujah. And one of the things that you and I need, does it get bad when I go over there or... one of the things that I know any house needs is a good foundation. The foundation of the house determines the building that is going to be put upon it. And the building, if the foundation is wrong, the building may look nice, but over time, the fault of the foundation is going to begin to show up in the house. Hallelujah. There's going to be cracks in the walls. There's going to be other problems that you have as far as that house is concerned. Hallelujah. There is a scripture. It's kind of, I think you probably think it's kind of elementary, but there's a little story in the Bible. Hallelujah. About Jesus was talking about building houses. Hallelujah. He's talking about building a house. One house. Hello, sir. Good to see you. He's talking about building a house. One house he built on the was being built on the sand. The other house was being built upon the rock. Hallelujah. But in both situations, the flood came, the wind came, and one of the houses was destroyed. He's not talking about natural houses. He's talking about your house, my house. Hallelujah. The house that we are building as unto the Lord. Because the Bible says that we are the tabernacle of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God wants to take up residence in that tabernacle. But that tabernacle has to be equipped. That tabernacle has to have a position or a place that is sure and firm and will not give under the aspect of the magnitude of who and what he is. Hallelujah. There's much we take for granted, I think, as far as the Word of God is concerned. But I think that we really, really need to understand what it is that God wants. It's not a matter of just God wants to save you. Hallelujah. He had to save you in order for you to be a candidate and to begin to come into some position or place of relationship with him that he could begin to exterminate the old man and bring forth the new man. Hallelujah. There is a scripture that says that you do not put new wine in old wineskin. Hallelujah. What happens if you put new wine in old wineskins? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that wineskin will burst or break and you lose the new wine. I don't know if you have noticed, but the segment of the church that calls itself the Holy Place Church, and when I say Holy Place Church, I mean that segment that has the revelation of sonship. Hallelujah. Amen. Or the understanding that God wants sons. God doesn't want just Christians, by the way. Hallelujah. God wants sons. He wants candidates for a son company. And he wants a son company because there is something in the mind of God, hallelujah, that goes beyond the current position of time. And it goes into the aspect and past the end of time. Hallelujah. My God, I don't know about your God, but my God is always creating something. Hallelujah. His nature is one of creation. And it, by virtue of his nature, he just continues to create and to create and to create. And he does not create without purpose. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And if you don't agree, you can say, oh me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has a distinct and thought in his mind. And that thought was in his mind prior to the foundations of the world. Hallelujah. It is not something that he just automatically conjured up during the time of creation and the passing of time and so forth and so on. Hallelujah. It was something that was very critical and very important to him. It was so important that he called a council in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He called a council in heaven. Oh, yes. In Genesis 1:26. I don't know if you all can see this board or not. Hallelujah. But I'm going to put a drawing here. Do we have something to erase this stuff with? Because I think it gives a position or a perspective It gives a perspective that is needed as far as we are concerned. We have often, and more than not, likely than not, always taught the tabernacle in this manner, this fashion. We have always taught it in the horizontal position. And now, there is nothing wrong with teaching it in the horizontal position. However, there is a different perspective that God wants us to have. Hallelujah. This is kind of like a day by day, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, something to get us through the day, something to get us through the week, something to get us through the month, something to get us through the year, and we're working, as it were, for a goal, for a goal or a position of commendation that would come from the Lord. Hello? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. Hallelujah. It's horizontal. Now, there's nothing wrong with horizontal if that is the position or the place of your vision. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But this position of experience as far as the tabernacle is concerned is really kind of a... It's really kind of pointing to a position of self-importance. Hallelujah. We think, what can God do for me? Of course, you don't do that, right? Huh? You get sick, what do? You ask God to heal you. Come on, brethren. Hallelujah. Am I talking to the right people or not? You get in a financial bind. What do you do? Huh? What do you do? Hallelujah. You ask God to deliver you. You get in a situation of persecution, and sometimes it's why me, Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is this position or this place of self-interest. Boy, are they alive? Are they alive? Oh, you're taking away my... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a position of self-interest. Hello. Hallelujah. But here, about a year or so ago, the Lord told me to stop teaching or preaching or sharing it in a horizontal position and start sharing it in a vertical position. Hallelujah. It's a matter of perspective. Now, I got in trouble for doing this, you know. I got accused of changing Brother Duciel's revelation. I'm not changing his revelation. Hallelujah. I'm just giving you a different perspective. Huh? Here, we've always taught it here, back on this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you run through, you hit a wall. You can't get outside, but in this particular situation or in this particular perspective, the Lord told me to eliminate the back. Hallelujah. So it is like an open portal. Hallelujah. It's like an open portal. This is eternity. Huh? And this is where Jehovah... Hallelujah. This is where the I am. This is where the Father resides. Hallelujah. And if our vision is vertical, it takes our position of focus off of ourselves. Huh? Well, at least it does me. Maybe it doesn't help you any, but at least it helps me. Takes our eyes off of myself and puts it on the Father. Hello? Hi. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You have to say amen every now and then to let me know that you really are alive. Hallelujah. And in Jesus was the pattern son. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the scripture says?
Yes.
And everything that Jesus did, he did it for the sake of the Father.
Yes.
And not only did he do it for the sake of the Father, he did it because the Father was talking to him the whole time he was doing something or saying something. Hello, are you there?
Yes.
Hallelujah. How many hours during the day are you in constant communication with the Father? Hallelujah. How many hours a day do you spend meditating and thinking about the Father? You're at work. Hallelujah. You're doing this, you're doing that. Are you thinking about the Father? Maybe occasionally, maybe every now and then. But every time you want to try to concentrate, something else comes along and attracts your attention. How many decisions do you make in a month that are decisions based on what the Father told you to do? Huh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's something wrong with our position of relationship. There's something very, very wrong with our position of relationship. Hallelujah. One of the major things about the tabernacle is that it is a vehicle. Hallelujah. It is a vehicle of change. I don't know if you can see that, but that's... It is a vehicle of change. You and I are supposed to change. Huh? Now, what do I mean by change? You just do those things that are good and you don't do those things that are bad? Huh? Hallelujah. Well, I have news for you. The fact of what you have as far as knowledge of the Father, as far as the will of the Father, as far as the intent and objective that is in the Father's mind, to the degree that you are not doing that, you and I could be in big trouble. You could be in big trouble. Hello? Hallelujah. To him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And don't think that the Father doesn't look at it as sin. If you think otherwise, you're mistaken. Hallelujah. So I am supposed to change. I am supposed to change from my position of humanity. Hallelujah. I am out here in the world prior to salvation, right? I'm out here in this world prior to salvation. Now, what is world? Well, maybe we should define world. What is world? World is nationality. Huh? Hello? Did you know there's no Nigerians in the kingdom of heaven? In the kingdom of God?
Yes.
There's no Americans. There's no Europeans.
Yes.
Huh? There's no Scandinavians. Hello? Did you know that?
Yes.
You know my passport, although it lets me into many places, it's not going to let me into heaven.
Yes.
Hallelujah. If I am holding on to my passport, well, I am an American. I can surely get into heaven with it.
Huh?
Hallelujah. There is a position of nationality. And let me tell you something. The nationality that we have, we're very, 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 very proud of it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Many years ago, I was down over there in Owerri. Hallelujah. And we were renting in Brother Uchi Church, Uchina. And it's Grace Tabernacle. Hallelujah. And we were in there ministering, and they were singing the song, How Great Thou Art. Boy, I wish we could have some praise sessions like that again. And we sang it for 3 hours. Hallelujah. And the whole time we're singing it, the Spirit of God is coming down in the room. When was the last time you had that experience? The Spirit of God was coming down in the room, and you couldn't help but sing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And there was a man that was brought up for prayer. Brother Uchi brought him up. Hallelujah. And and he asked me to pray for the man, and I laid my hands on the man, and I immediately went into a vision. I don't know if you were there at that time. Yes. Were you there?
My brother Mark, yeah.
Yeah. And I went into a vision, and I saw this man with a big black cord plugged into his chest. Hallelujah. And it went right down into the dirt. Hallelujah. Now, what do you think that is saying? Hallelujah. It means there is something very spiritual and very heinous and very captivating. It is the pride that you have in the aspect of the nationality that you are. Hallelujah. You know, I can find a Nigerian church anywhere in the world. Hallelujah. I can find a Nigerian church. I just have to find a Nigerian and follow him on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. And they all conjugate together. And there was one group that started in Europe. Hallelujah. God started them in Europe for a reason. I'm not going to say what they were or who they were. He started them in that country for a reason, because God had an obligation to the people of that country. And they were sent there to evangelize and to bring more of those English people into the revelation of what it is that we believe in as far as sonship is concerned. Hello? You know what they did? They made a Nigerian church out of it. Hallelujah. I went there year after year after year. Once in a while, you would see some English person, but not very often. Hallelujah. All of them were Nigerian. Hallelujah. Hello? They, and one of the words I gave them, or the Lord spoke to them, was that they had failed to do what they had been appointed to do, and God removed the blessing off of them. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the group never prospered beyond that. Never. In fact, I think it disbanded. I don't know if it's still in operation. I haven't been back for several years. Hallelujah. And you know, there is a people out there. If you and I do not do what we're supposed to do, there is a people out there who are hungry for what you have. Hallelujah. They want it. They want deliverance from their circumstance. They want deliverance from their religiosity. They want deliverance from the religious bondage in which they are in. Something in their heart is crying and sighing. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's not that we want to build our group. It is that we want to facilitate the kingdom of God by spreading what it is that will deliver them. But you and I have to be delivered of our propensity first. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we're not being delivered. Hallelujah. We're not changing. Hallelujah. And if you think you're changing, go to God and ask Him. Go to God and ask Him if what I'm saying to you is not the truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm not afraid of the truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So there is a position to play. And God said in Genesis chapter 1, the Father, don't want that one. The Father said, let us. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. You know, I'm sure I'm sounding like a stuck record. Hallelujah. You know, he goes, and the Lord said, click, and the Lord said, click, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, let us, click, let us, click, let us, click. One of these times it might go through my head and into my brain and out of my brain and into my heart. Huh? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are somewhat self-absorbed. Well, you asked me to come. You asked me to come. Well, somebody asked me to come.
The Lord asked you to come.
Huh?
The Lord asked you to come.
Yes, but I was fighting that one. Hallelujah. But God arranged it that I could be here. And here I am. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, let us. Now, when the word God is too generic for me. It's just too generic. There are many gods out there. Hallelujah. And this God that we call the Father, I like calling him the Father, with the definite article capitalized in front of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has many names. He has many names. Well, he has a few names that are really important. One of his names is Jehovah Jireh. Another one is Jehovah Nissi. Hallelujah. One is Elohim. Hallelujah. Why? These names are important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These names are important because they're indicative of a character or a nature or a part of his being that has something in it that can come to us by virtue of our position of a relationship and calling on that position of his nature. Hello. Hallelujah. You know, it is important. It says in John, it says in John chapter 1, verse 12, that as many as believe on his name, what will he do? I will give them a sousia. Hallelujah. Do you know the devil can't do anything without you? Did you know that?
Yes.
Did you really know that? There used to be an expression in the church which says, the devil may be do it. Hallelujah. But the devil can't do anything unless he has you to do it. Because you are different than the devil. Hello. If you go into Genesis chapter 1 and you begin to read the creation of God, and as you read it, it says God created so-and-so, and everything brought down after its own kind. Huh? And God created the beasts of the field, and everything brought forth after its own kind. And God created the heaven, the birds of the air, and everything brought forth after its own kind. So kind is a term that indicates or that specifies a species that is like something else. Hallelujah. Well, that's kind of elementary definition, but that's the best I can do. Hallelujah. But man, though he was created a little lower than the angels, he was created different than the angels. Because when God created the angels, they were of one kind. Hallelujah. And those angels could not procreate. Huh? They did not have the power of creation in them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They were designed and made in a certain way for a certain purpose, for a certain reason that would work in the heavenlies and also work in this environment that we are in if it so be the will of God. They were not able to procreate. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you go into the second or third or fourth chapter, it says that the there's this mixture, the doctrine of mixture of angels and humanity and bringing forth giants. Hallelujah. It's not talking about angels. Angels cannot procreate. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Gabriel And Michael and Hillel and the beginning, who turned himself into Satan, hallelujah, they were designed and created for a specific reason, a specific purpose. Gabriel was a messenger. He was a means by which God conveyed his mind and his will to the populace up until the coming of Jesus Christ. Hello? Hallelujah. When Gabriel came to Mary, hallelujah, Gabriel didn't say, "I am going to overshadow you." He said that the Father is going to overshadow you. He came bearing a message. And the word angel, angelos, means messenger. So anyone who is unctioned or anointed of God, hallelujah, is working in that capacity of being a messenger. He carries a particular word. And that particular word has a power in it, not because of the messenger, but because of the Father. Loose! So we come to meeting and we sit and we listen and we go out. And sometimes we can't even rehearse or recite what was said. Oh, it was a good sermon. It was a good meeting. What did he say? Well, you know, he said this and said that, but he said this and said that. Hallelujah. We can't even remember. Hello? We can't even remember. How many of you are taking notes? Don't raise your hands. Or maybe no hands would be raised. I don't know. Hallelujah. How many of you are students in school? How many of you? Huh? Come on, raise your hands up. I got to see them. Oh my, that's great. Now, when you go to class, do you go to class with a pen and paper? Do you? Huh? Do you go to class with a pen and paper? What do you do with that pen and paper? Huh? Why do you take notes? Can anybody tell me why you take notes? Huh? Do they give you exams? Huh? So, what you write, has the teacher ever say, "Now this is going to be on your test"? Has the teacher ever said that?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Is that a yes or a no?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Okay, so why is this different? Why is it different? Do you know you're going to be tested?
Yes, sir.
Do you know you're going to walk out that door tonight, and sometime during the day, at night, or the following day, or the week to come, you're going to hit a wall somewhere because God is going to put you into a test to find out if you really heard what He said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I suppose the first thing you have to ascertain is really, did God send me? Hallelujah. Or am I up here of my own volition, my own will, my own thought, my own thinking? I suppose that's one of the things that you have to ascertain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But if God sent me, and I'm speaking to you the mind of God, hello? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then there is something that God wants to convey to you, and there's something that God wants you to understand. There's something that God wants you to grasp a hold of. Maybe not tonight, hallelujah, but in the aspect of your thinking and meditating upon what has been spoken or looking at your notes, hallelujah, God speaks something to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I don't know how God works with other people, the Father. I don't know how He works with other people. Hallelujah. But I know how He works with me. I can be in a conversation with somebody. Hallelujah. And they can be talking about politics. They can be talking about the weather. They can talk about their automobile that broke down. And in the midst of the conversation, a little scripture drops into my head.
Oh, yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes.
What do you do with it? You brush it away? Sometimes I do. And then I regret it. Hallelujah. I have to stop. I got this little thing on my phone that you can talk to it and it will make a note. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I don't forget it. And you know what? If I don't do it, Hallelujah. It can be 30 seconds and I've already forgot what it was that he spoke to me. I have to do it immediately. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you have to know the Word of God, by the way. When I was a young man, we did not have CDs. We had cassette tapes. You know those things, the ribbons, and they put them in a machine, or maybe some of you don't even know what they are. I don't know. Hallelujah. It kind of dates me, doesn't it? But we have these cassettes, and I had the Bible, King James, Alexander Scorby. Hallelujah. On tape. I went through three sets of them. Warm out. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not memorizing them. I'm just listening to the Word. At night, I'd put the thing on the nightstand. I'd put the microphone under my pillow. Hallelujah. Maybe I thought I would osmose it. I don't know. But I'm telling you, when the Word of God is going through, even in my subconsciousness, there is something in me that is listening. There is something in me. And I found out that sometimes when I'm sleeping, I hear better. Hallelujah. My mind's not so busy. Hallelujah. I hear better. Hallelujah. And I, that scripture, it just comes. As I've grown older, as I kind of migrated away from that type of situation, not that I don't read the Bible or meditate on it or concentrate on it quite a bit, because I do. Hallelujah. But that it's somewhere here in these brain cells. I don't understand it, but somewhere in here, all of that Word is in here. And I can be talking and Scripture will come, Scripture will come, Scripture will come. And I begin to follow it, and it goes here and it goes there, deeper, 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 deeper. Huh? Hallelujah. It's called relationship. You want to hear the Father? It's the Word of God. Hallelujah. It's the Word of God. How much time do you spend in the Bible? Hour a day? That might be a little extravagant. How much time do you spend listening to the Word of God? You listen to, they call it gospel music, but I don't know if it's gospel music or not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's wrong with the Word of God? Is it boring? Hallelujah. When you read it, do you just fall asleep? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Relationship. Relationship. Jesus was in constant communion with the Father. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean you're storming heaven and rebuking devils and just carrying on, hallelujah, speaking in tongues. It means that there is this constant flow of information. Constant flow of information. The first position, the first place of relationship, the first position of relationship is